And yet we're here. And what do we do in church? We all stand up and sing together. That's not really normal in our culture. And then we listen to someone talk, and then we take communion, which in and of itself seems like a weird thing to outsiders. And yet we're here, and we're here every week, and we've been doing this type of thing called church for almost 2,000 years now. So there's something here that obviously is enough to get us here every single Sunday. And then I was thinking, well, I could tell you my story, and I'll tell you little bits and pieces of my story, but I'm just one person, and we're a community here in this church. So instead of just sharing my story, I made Drew do most of my sermon for me. What we did is we crowdsourced this and took a video camera to a gathering of people at Mission Gathering, and without giving them advanced warning, asked them this question: why do you go to church? And everybody humored us, and we're willing to play along. So before I dive into the series of videos, I've got four videos and then a little bit about each video. Basically, what we were looking at is what are some common themes that pop up again and again in our stories within this community about why we go to church. And then I kind of looked at those and tried to figure out, okay, which of these have strong biblical themes and which seems to resonate with a larger story. It all boils down to God. We should be here because we're trying to actively seek out a relationship with God. God should be the foundation of everything that we do. Without that, I think it'll fall apart. And I'm sure there's some of you here today who came because your mom dragged you, and I just want to say thank you, moms, for doing that to us. And I'm sure there's other of you who came for silly reasons, like to score some brownie points with someone that you find a little cute. And we've all been there. So whatever the reason is, I hope that as you get to know Mission Gathering and as you get to know us more and participate in this thing that we do called church every Sunday, that you'll begin to find that love and realize that what drives us here and what keeps us getting up early in the morning is God. So that's how I wanted to start. I'll play the first video.
In my 24 years at the time, you know, I had never been in a community of people. Even being home, I never felt like I was at home because there was a constant judgment of me not fitting into this mold that they wanted me to fit into.
I feel like I have a calling God to serve and to change my life for the better.
It always seemed that the Lord would put people in my life or situations or events that would always cause me to focus back on why I needed to go to church.
Tuesday nights is the high of my week. I mean, I will come up with any excuse to leave work early so that I can get into that community center and be a part of the angels.
It's not just about what you're going to get out of it, but you know, you're part of a body of Christ, and we need you as you need to be filled in things. You are needed as part of the body of Christ.
There's something about walking in Mission Gathering where I felt loved and welcomed. Just like, I cry, and when I feel stuff, I get really emotional and I cry. But it was something about that made me keep coming back because it touched me.
Going to church, you know, why we need to go to church is not so much the church, the building, but going to church in terms of our everyday interaction with each other, be it with a believer or non-believer. You know, I think that is why I go. You know, I'm just trying to live the way you know, the book of Acts, we're telling all these stories of how the early church was, and I think we're still doing it.
Our lives are always changing and the world around us is always changing, but we're willing to acknowledge that. And I think that's the thing for me, like as a Christian, you know, I find that a lot of times people preach things that are out of date and they don't make sense for us, but they make it so easy for you to connect with the message because it's so easily edible. Like it's just food for your soul, and it's readily available and it's being provided every Sunday.
the scripture speaks about when two or more of you are gathered in my name. You know, and I think it pleases God when he sees his children come together in prayer, raising up their voices together. And I think, you know, he finds it pleasing to him when we, as his children, come together. So to me, that's another reason why I felt it was important that I become committed to a body of Christ where I can give of myself, my talents, not only receive, but so that others can give as well.
Thanks. So just thinking about some of these answers that people gave, explaining why they're here, a big theme that runs through here, I was going to call this section obedience. We come because it's pleasing to God, because God wants us to. But then I realized there isn't really a place where Jesus says, you must go to church every Sunday. It's not a thing. And honestly, when you think about it even further, when Jesus was here, we weren't supposed to go to church. We were supposed to drop everything and follow him around and learn what we could from him. So church isn't something that Jesus commanded us to do. But church is something that we've been doing since the very beginning. Church has been a thing for almost 2,000 years, and I think it's important to just stop and ponder that a little bit. We have a rich tradition that we can tap into that has lasted while governments have fallen and cultures have come and fallen. Church still exists. So I wanted to take a second and look back on the beginnings. How did this come to be, and what's the story, and what were those first Christians doing? And that's all pretty well documented in the book of Acts. So we're going to read Acts 2, verses 41 through 47, I think. And a little bit of the backstory here, if you haven't read this passage or this book, Acts picks up where the Gospels left off. So Jesus was here, he did all those awesome things. He was killed, he came back to life, and he showed himself to his disciples a couple times and to a few other people. And he always did that when they were gathered in a community. We can talk about that a little bit later. But then he went up to heaven for the final time and sent the Holy Spirit to be with us here today. And the book of Acts kind of outlines just that whole experience and what that looks like. And if you haven't read it, I recommend definitely read it. Keep your mind open, because it's a fascinating book. But so what happened at the beginning of this story is the apostles had received the Holy Spirit. They went out into the community, and they started praying in tons of different languages, and all these miracles were happening, and it was just this, like, outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their community. And so we start here. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I was trying to think of 3,000 people. That's a lot of people, but then I realized the world was a lot smaller then, so I did some math, and 3,000 people then is about equivalent to about 80,000 people now, which is the population of the North Park Mid-City area of San Diego. So essentially what happened is the Holy Spirit went out into the city, and every single person in North Park came to Christ all at once. And that's how sensational this moment was. So what did they do? The apostles and all these 3,000 people are like, okay, well, now what? This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, into fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled in awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the believers came together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is a pretty fantastic story of what the early church looks like. And so this is the reaction that the first Christians, the ones who were still around when Jesus was around, had to a radical encounter with God. And this is kind of the template that we have to base church on. So I was thinking about those four things. Can you go back to verse 42? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are the four things that they spent most of their time on. And this is kind of church speak. We don't often use all of these words. So translated, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's basically learning about Jesus. Who was Jesus? The apostles followed him around, and they got to live with him. And so these, they had like primary source teachers who could tell them everything that they learned to try to get a grasp on what is this crazy thing that I'm going through right now. And to fellowship, again, that's a church word, but basically it means coming together and hanging out, getting to know each other, spending time with each other. To the breaking of bread, I think what we see in Acts is this literally means they got together and had meals together and shared life together. But it also is a direct reflection on communion that we do every week here. It's a time to stop and remember the point of what brings us together, to remember Jesus. And then to prayer. So I was thinking about that. These four things are things that we do at this church. We hang out. We get to know each other. We spend a lot of time in prayer. We usually pray before a sermon. I think I forgot to do that today, so I'll do it at the end. We do communion, and we learn. So you always have someone like me or other people talking about what we've seen and what we know and make sure that it's all vetted by someone like Rich who has the proper training to keep us on track. So we do a lot of the same things in church today. So I was thinking about, well, why do we do this? I mean, Americans are not necessarily a group of people who do things because they've always been done that way. We hate tradition. And so I'm sure we're not just here because we've got 2,000 years of tradition in front of us. Why are we here? And I think that the answer is because we get something out of it. We get growth. We change. We start to see that by encountering God on a regular basis, making structure around experiencing our faith, we grow. So can you play the second video?
There's opportunities where I can serve the church, and you know, that's my forte, is to help other people out. So I found my niche here, where other places I wasn't really in the scene and didn't really care if I got involved, or I didn't really care if there was a God, or I didn't care that God would help me, because you know, I just felt like God would never be there to help. So I just feel like, you know, God's giving me an opportunity to be here and show what I can do.
The more I open up to God, the more my life feels fulfilled. The more I connect to God, the more my life feels valued. And that's in serving too.
But he also said that they will know that you're Christians by your love for one another. And we've got to be together in order to, you know, grow that love for one another. You know, forgive one another. Mm-hmm. It's got to be together for that. In church.
Like I said, the more I open myself up, the more satisfied I feel.
I'm glad that my husband was the source or the mean that led me to this church and all to all these members in this evening. So I'm very glad that since I met him and since I met the church, since I met this group, this community in the church, every weekend I don't stop going there, and now it's more than a belief, it's part of myself, part of my life.
That's what I liked about MG. It wasn't this like talk, let's be Christian, let's go out and live this, let's be that example in the community, let's help that person in need and give them something they need, and actually say, hey, if you want to make a better life, we can provide you a path. Come on, man. I do not want to be a part of that.
Like I said, I never got involved with church. So now I am. I'm just like all over the place. So that's amazing, because when you never believe that in your heart that, you know, God can help you, now I'm helping everybody. I'm helping, you know, serve the shelter, the rooftop garden up in the church, and I do communion, I greet in front of the church, you know, I'm involved with the study group on Wednesday, so pretty involved. So I just, I felt God just led me here to know that He cares about me and that I have that I can have a better life. It's not all about partying and doing what your friends do. It's all about God, serving God. So I believe I found my niche. God wants me to do better things and not just follow your friends, what they do, because they think it's all fun, and I believe God has better things. And so I'm just glad that I am involved and I met some nicest people, and so God bless you all.
Cool. So thank you guys again for being willing to open up and share your thoughts with us. We had so much footage. People just talked, and that kind of blew my mind. And I wish that we had the ability to stop and ask every single one of you your story, because what I saw in those testimonies was everybody had a story of change, that they came to church because church changed them. So Jovi was talking a lot about how his priorities changed and his ideas of how he wanted to spend his time changed. And he's now very active in the church. He's here almost every day that I've come. And thank you. And the cool thing about that is we're a church where there's so many people like that. We're a church that really owns service. And thinking about that a little bit too, we see God in that. When you watch people like Jovi, he's so humble, and he's not the type of guy who is definitely doing this because he wants everybody to notice him and get the praise. That's very clear. He serves out of something deeper. And I'm also sure it's not because people say thank you, because we forget all the time, so thank you. It's people serve, the people that I've seen here at Mission Gathering serve, I think because it's what they need to do. It's where they're at in their faith, and it's a way that they can express their joy in God in their life and the way that He's transformed them. So I don't think it's just service. Dale was talking a lot about service, but also about that spirit of like fulfillment and satisfaction and peace that comes when you're actively engaging your faith. And Candy was talking about becoming more loving and being people who reflect God in their life. And that's really true. And this is a really cool church to ask people, because there's a lot of people who stepped out of faith for some point in their life, or maybe didn't know faith until later in their life. So it's really great to see how that's changed us and why we come to church. So keep coming, and if you don't understand what church is going to do for you, I bet you can turn to the person sitting next to you or behind you and get a pretty great story that can give you some encouragement. Thinking about what does that look like biblically, this is also a really common theme. So I want to open us up to Romans 12. And since this is a passage that we hear all the time, I figured I'd pull the Message version. Message is like a summary of the Bible, essentially. And it's a good one to read sometimes when you're reading something you've heard too much and you need to think about it in fresh words. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So I just want to encourage you to keep coming to church. Hear it from Paul here in Romans. Hear it from the people sitting next to you. But it's good for us. and there's something that we get out of it that keeps us coming back. And then I was thinking back on those four things from Acts. We're here because it's an opportunity to pray. We can do that on our own, honestly, and we should be. But praying in a community is a great thing to do. We can learn. We can do that on our own. Again, there's lots of books, podcasts, videos, anything, ways that we can learn about God from people who know a lot more than us. We could celebrate communion alone, I suppose. I grew up in a family where we prayed before we ate. Every single time it was a tradition. And in a way, I think that kind of stems from the concept of communion. It's a centering your life around a structure of giving thanks and dwelling on God who provides for us. But we do that as a community as well. Of those four things, there's one that we can't do by ourselves, and that's be in community with other Christians celebrating God together. So kind of focusing in on that, that's one thing that we have to do in church. We can't do by ourselves, or else we'll look really silly and people will laugh at us. So I want to kind of to go into that one a little bit. Will you put up that third video?
Getting back into church and finding people who I identify with to worship with made me feel welcome, and that is MG to me. It made me say, I am uniquely created. I may be imperfect, but uniquely created by God, and I can worship God.
And when you're having a bad day, we're here for you. If I'm having a bad day, you're here for me, and we're here for each other.
It's just like being without air for so long, and then you're finally able to just breathe. You know, it's so refreshing and so rejuvenating. Like, there'll be some weeks I go to work, and I'm surrounded by so many negative people, and then Sunday I'll rush in, and it's just like this washing of renewal that comes over me, like being around you guys, and just it's such a wonderful feeling, you know. It's such a great feeling, you know. And I'm just thankful. Like every day, I'm just so thankful. No matter what happens, no matter how great, how bad, I'm just thankful that I'm here.
My best friend, she's gay and was looking for a church that would accept her. And so we went one Sunday, and I cried. And you just cry. It was during worship, and you just feel the Spirit so overwhelming, and you just feel home.
I always think about when I felt God's Spirit within me, when He touched me, when I felt His love, and that's what I missed. And being able to see that in other people, you can't do that all by yourself when you're just communing with you and Him. You don't see what God's done in other people's lives until you are part of that church community. And you see all the wonderful blessings that He's done, and it helps to reinforce your faith and the love that He has for you. And it's a reminder, because then you see God's love not only within yourself, but you see it in other people's faces. And that is a blessing for me. And that just keeps that constant reminder that we people of faith are called to be with each other.
Cool. I think that this is a really beautiful story, and a few themes that came out of here that struck me was that there's things that we find when we gather together, ways that we experience God that are unique, that are bigger and bolder and better in some ways than something we experience on our own. So kind of thinking about this, one of the themes that came out is what happens when we come together in worship. This was a story I heard many times, even from people who weren't on the video. When we come together in worship, sometimes we encounter God, and we encounter God in ways that surprise us. And I just wanted to tell a little story about that in my life. I grew up in an area that was pretty much anti-Christian. My dad was a church planter, and so we had a church. It was a pretty small church, smaller than this one probably. And every single person in the church, for the most part, this was their first time experiencing God. And it was really beautiful, but there wasn't that tradition of people who grew up in faith And the school that I went to was extremely secular, so much so that my science teacher wrote on the board at the beginning of class, like, you can't talk about God because there's not space for two of us in this classroom. He was cocky. But that was the environment that if you have faith, you're kind of stupid. And so it was a good thing for me. I think it exposed me to how people think who aren't me. And it was a great way to grow up with parents who instilled faith in me, despite the fact that the community wasn't doing that. But when I went off to college, I chose to go to a faith-based Christian college. And part of the draw was I was really curious what it was all about. I'd never really seen faith in community before. And I remember standing there on the first, they have this student-led service on Sunday evenings, and standing there and watching this whole crowd of people that had been at parties the night before, and the people I was just being stupid college student with, standing there and praising God, and I just broke down and cried. And that happened to me every single week for a long time, because it was the first time I'd ever seen community of my peers praising God together, and that was so powerful. It was when I realized that God is big, and he's in control, and this is his world, the ability to do that in community. And so that's one way that I saw that. And I heard a similar story from many of you, that when you come and we're singing and we're praising and we're all actively participating in worshiping God, that it's powerful. So I think that God shows up. He shows up in a new way. And when you look back on Jesus and what he said and how he acts to the early church, you see that as well. Jesus came back and encountered the apostles when they were together. He had something personal to say to Thomas, but he waited until the group was there, and then he did it then. And even throughout all of Jesus' teachings, he's usually talking to a group. So I think that there's something about us coming together in worship that allows God to show up stronger. The other piece of that you guys mentioned was the ability to lift each other up. So encountering faith, it's one of those things where you have good times and you have bad times. I've had moments in my life where I felt like God is here and speaking and I know exactly what's going on, and talking to him, I hear things back. And then I've gone through long phases of silence where I start to wonder and I start to quote the Psalms, like, how long, God? How long are you going to hide your face from me? Where are you? And that's the way God works. And I can't really speak on God's behalf why, but I think a piece of it is we can't always be children. We need to grow up. And so he acts towards us in the right developmental phase of where we are. But when we come together in a community, we can share our experiences. And we forget so easily when we're in those moments of silence that's not God. God has been a person who's speaking and has been engaged in our life and has just showered blessings on us. And if I can't experience that in my life today, coming into a community, I hear stories from you guys where God's pouring into your life today. And it's just a way, as a human who totally forgets everything 5 minutes from now, to remember to focus on God at work in community. And it's also an opportunity for us to lift each other up. That we can't do this thing on our own. We can't earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do to be good enough. And we're all like that. So we're all going to struggle, and we need each other to stay strong. So there's something really beautiful that happens in community, and a way that we can encounter God that makes us stronger and makes us better than if we tried to do it alone. And that takes me to the last point. We're here because of God. So it's all about God. If we were here just because we thought it made us look good, or we were here because we all want to have the same social views, or we want to be around people who are just like us, we wouldn't be here for the right reasons. We're here because as a community, we want to honor God and place him first in our life. So we go to the last video.
You start seeing, like, things start breaking your way. It's like, everything seems to break my way. Like, where it could go horribly wrong, it seems to work out. And I credit that to faith.
I was introduced to Mission Gathering, and then I found fellowship. And that to me was something that was amazing. The people, I could go and be myself and not have to worry about what I look like, how I was feeling. It was just me, and it was real.
It makes it so easy to be honest and frank with where we're at, you know, and, you know, like, man, I'm feeling like I'm living in sin right now. You know, we can blatantly say that, you know, but nobody's going to judge you for it and say, you know what, you're having a day. It's okay. Because we're always chasing after his heart, and we're always wanting to be better, you know, and we all want to, you know, live in his life. But we all understand that we're all in different places in our journey, you know, and that's what's important.
I go to church because I don't want to cry on this video. It's embarrassing. Life is shitty. And church fills your cup up with the Spirit. And the next week you go on and you can build yourself back up with the words that God has for you. And you said people are imperfect. And they are. So why should we go to church with people that are imperfect? Because God is perfect, and he has a plan for all of us. And his plan is perfect. So that's why I go to church.
And then going through that, and it's all the questioning of how can God love me? And I had gone to a church that invited in a worship team that really brought to life the worship at that particular church. And I remember just feeling God's presence one day during worship and thinking, you know, you really, really do love me. And if I can be in your presence, then I must be okay.
I stopped going to church for a little bit just because I felt like I couldn't fit the mold of a perfect Christian. And then when I went to MG, I'm like, what? There's no mold. There's nothing that you need to fit. You just go to church and you follow Christ and you just serve his people. And you just spread his love. And I think that's why we go to church, because we feel his love there.
Some days I'm there for me. Some days I'm there for the person next to me. I knew one Sunday when it was real and we were singing some song and I just started listening to the words, and literally in the middle of service, I started bawling like a baby. It just, my heart opened and the words felt, and next thing you know, I had people around me that were comforting me, and it was just like, wow. And I wasn't worried about what people were thinking and looking at me. It was just like, this is happening. And that was it. And I knew then I was home.
Yeah, so we're here, and thanks again for vulnerability and being willing to share wisdom. We're here because of God, and those clips, they're not necessarily the ones that you would expect with that title, but one of the things that really struck me as I was asking these questions is that oftentimes what keeps us from coming is that we've cheapened God in our mind, that we think of him less than he actually is. And so that's something I want to kind of sit in for a second, is when I hear explanations of why people hesitate to come to church, a lot of them have to do with misunderstanding God. So one person said, you know, I don't come to church because if I really told people what's going on in my mind with my doubts and my questioning, I might ruin everybody's faith, and it would shock them. And my thought was, no, no, come. That's exactly why you need to come. Look back on the Bible and you see so many times where people were calling out, God, I'm really angry at this thing about you. I don't like this. Jesus can handle it. And he welcomes us to come with our anger and our fear. It might be, you know, if people really knew what my family was like, what life's like behind closed doors, I'm not good enough. And again, that's completely false. That church should be the place where we're honest, where we're open, where we can share. This is what the bad parts of my life look like. Maybe I don't live like the average Christian looks like, come, because God can handle it. The other thing that I realize is God knows everything. There's nothing that we can bring to God that's going to surprise him. In God's history with humanity, he has seen everything. I'm confident that there's nothing going on in your life that hasn't already happened. And then kind of thinking about that, there's nothing that we can do that's new. There's nothing that we can do that's shocking. God knew this about us before he came. So can you pull up the last passage? Again, going back to Romans, this is Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So just pondering that, and this is just one of many passages that point out exactly how much God knows. I think the whole story of Jesus is confirmation of that. God not only saw us in our, like, filth and chose to reach out and just keep pulling us back again and again and again, but then God sent his son to experience what we feel, to experience life as a human and to know us fully in our brokenness. And Jesus lived a life without sin, but he lived a life where he felt the temptation and he felt the pain and he felt the anger and he felt all of the feelings that we feel. And yet he still went through with it at the end and paid the ultimate price for our sin. So I just want to encourage you to never, ever hesitate to bring somebody who's not perfect. Never hesitate to come in those moments where you're feeling that you're not good enough. Because we're here to celebrate and to worship and to learn about the one true living God who can handle it all and who has already paid the price for everything that's going on. And we see that by coming to church and celebrating with community and being here for each other, we can help each other grow out of whatever mess we're experiencing. So that's why we go to church. I just want to stop and pray for us today. God, thank you for this thing that you created. Thank you for church. Thank you for the ability to come together in a really authentic and real and raw community where we can expose ourselves to be the people that you see us to be the potential that you've created in us, and to grow in healing as you mold us and shape us to become more like you. We thank you for the opportunity to serve, for the opportunity to build up our neighbors as they're going through hard times, to celebrate with our neighbors as they go through great times, to celebrate with the children in our church as they grow and develop and learn and reach new achievements. We just pray that you'll give us your eyes to see each other in the way that you see us, so that we can be that authentic community for the people sitting around us. Yeah, so we just come before you today, God, in complete humility, recognizing that you're the reason that we're here. In your name we pray. Can you hand me your Bible? It's communion time now, right? I'm still learning. I thought I'd read the story from Matthew about the Lord's Supper, but it got moved. Here it is. So the Lord's Supper is basically what we celebrate when we do communion. And it's a fascinating story if you read the whole passage in any of the books. The beautiful piece of Jesus breaking bread, and this is his body, and his blood shed out for us, it's sandwiched in between two flaws of the people that he surrounded himself with. And I just thought that that was a beautiful thing to remember in today's sermon, that we're here just as people. And Jesus, fully aware of people, was surrounded by people who are betraying him. So right before the Lord's Supper, right before he gets to the point that we celebrate, he says to Judas, "When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one another, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better if he was not born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." So in that, Jesus is fully aware of the brokenness of his closest friends. And in that attitude, he still goes forward. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Communion server, sorry. I need you guys. See, I'm still learning. One of the things that's beautiful about the people who are serving today is we've got mother-son teams on both sides, which I think is really awesome. Okay, let's see. Other thing I'm still learning is how to break the bread. So while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink of it with you anew in my Father's kingdom." And just a reminder, this is grape juice on both sides, to be sensitive. This passage continues. This is a very weird way to do communion, but it continues with Jesus reaching out to Peter and explaining to him that Peter, even though he really loves Jesus and is so eager all the time, that even he is going to betray Jesus immediately following this. So I just thought that was a beautiful thing to stop and remember today as we take part in Jesus' offering of himself, that he's fully aware of who we are. So will you join us? God, please bless this communion and shine for us through what we're doing right now in honoring you. In your name we pray. Amen.